Are you truly stepping into the role of leader in your own life the way you know you're meant to? What shifts would unlock your full potential? It's time to explore those answers with the host of Sacred Leadership, intuitive business coach, Charisse Alexander.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network. My name is Charisse Alexander, your host here on Sacred Leadership with Charisse. So there was a time when I believed that emotional maturity meant being composed, articulate, and unbothered. What I learned through missteps, ruptured relationships, and seasons of emotional turbulence is that true maturity is not about control. It's about regulation, responsibility, and the courage to stay present with yourself when your nervous system wants to react. In today's episode, I share the lived lessons that shaped my emotional intelligence, where I reacted instead of responded, where self-suppression masqueraded as strength, and where leadership quietly fractured because emotional steadiness yet wasn't embodied. I explore how emotional maturity transforms relationships, why emotional intelligence is a spiritual practice rather than a personality trait, and how the body reveals whether regulation has truly been integrated. Today, I'll speak to the reality of rebuilding emotional steadiness after destabilizing seasons when leadership requires returning to yourself before leading anyone else. Today is meant to be a personal reflection for those who are no longer interested in appearing evolved, but are committed to becoming emotionally anchored, sovereign, and trustworthy, first with themselves and then with others. So when I was reflecting and thinking about what did that mean, like what really changed in how I showed up, the first question that I asked myself is, well, what was I doing before when I thought that I was emotionally mature? And so I'd have to go back in time about 10 to 15 years, and I realized that I had mistaken emotional maturity for like not reacting. Those folks who have been in my life, you know, for 10, 15, 20 years, I've always had a fairly calm countenance, but what was really going on is I would not react. So something would happen and, you know, inside I might be really upset or, you know, maybe go be explosive in some other moment by myself. But I really misunderstood and felt that emotional maturity means you don't react. And so when I reflected on that and asked myself the question, well, why am I not reacting? What am I trying to suppress and what am I trying to avoid? And in some other episodes, I've definitely talked about this and I realized that, you know, sometimes when things come up in our experience, and it's not, and we're not talking for the sake of clarity here about the emotions and the experiences that are joyous and they're happy and we lean into those quite easily. I'm talking, of course, about the ones where we're really challenged with sadness or grief or anxiety or fear or anger, any of those things. And I think what I was actually trying to avoid was collapsing under it, having an extreme response that I wouldn't be able to control, or perhaps judgment from other people. And the truth is that even when people do see a reaction out of me or they have been faced with reactions, and there was always this reinforcement of that idea, right? Something would happen, I would react, never really usually in a uncontrollable way, but people would almost recoil. And then they would say things like, you know, I was, you know, bitchy or whatever the case may be. And I would just be like, well, I'm responding, you know, you said this or you did that or whatever the case may be. And it was a very real reaction or response. And when I reflect on some of those scenarios, none of them seemed completely out of line. But I recognized that what I was actually trying to avoid, like I said, was either A, collapsing under the weight of whatever emotion I was grappling with, or B, trying to avoid being judged. And ultimately, when we think about who benefits from being emotionally quiet, nobody does. Nobody benefits from that. And we will eventually get to, you know, talking about how that can show up differently, how we can emotionally regulate versus, you know, be either not having an emotional response or overreacting or whatever the case may be. But who benefits from the emotional quietness ultimately, I suppose, is the other party that might be involved in that. And I pause there and I say that, but at the same time, while I say they might be benefiting, but are they really? Because now what I've done is I've not actually spoken my truth about whether or not I am okay with whatever scenario has occurred. And so ultimately, when we suppress these emotions, we avoid them, we choose not to engage with them, we don't process them, the person who ultimately ends up paying the cost of that is you. You and me, or whoever is suppressing and not actually engaging with what these feelings are. So I would ask you today, are you emotionally matured? That's the question I would pose. Are you equally suppressing, or are you choosing to lean in and engage with your emotions and ask the questions that, you know, are coming to the surface? Because the way that I choose to look at emotions now, and this has been a real evolution in my experience, is that it's data. They're data points. It's nothing more than that. Some outside thing happens. I'm telling myself a story. There is an emotional response, either internally or externally. And now I'm informed that I'm feeling angry, sad, happy, whatever the case may be. But what is really the story that's going on beneath all of that? What am I really telling myself? And so it becomes the first point of going within and being able to ask yourself, again, as I always love to say, those really juicy questions. And the other thing that had occurred to me is that I was suppressing out of probably a story that I learned somewhere along the way about being too much, too emotional, too sensitive. You know, women generally speaking get painted with the image or with the narrative of being too emotionally sensitive or whatever the case may be. And particularly, you know, in some of the relationships that I've had, that is one of the things that would come up, is that I was too sensitive. And I would always take that like an insult. And I remember almost like, you know, somebody said to me, oh, you're too sensitive. I'd be like, well, what do you mean I'm too sensitive? No, I'm not. I'm not sitting here crying. I'm having a dialogue with you and telling you about something that's bothering me. I'm not too sensitive. Now, all these years later, you know, I could interpret that so many different ways. It could even easily be a scenario of you're personalizing something that I'm saying to you, and it's not intended to be taken that way, is possibly one of the things. But the point being is that I learned very early, like you may have, that being called too sensitive was a bad thing. And so I found what I started to do was I started to like put a wall around myself. And so now nobody gets to see my emotions. Nobody gets to see my sensitivities. Nobody gets anything from me unless it's happy and pleasant and all of these things, right? So in a sense, I guess you could say that I was also emotionally bypassing, completely avoiding the feelings, pushing them down, pretending they didn't exist, because I was too sensitive and I didn't want to be coined or labeled as being too sensitive, or I was worried about being judged, or I was even worried about collapsing under the weight of all of these feelings that I was having and I did not know what to do with them. So ultimately, I didn't realize at the time that what I was doing was I was confusing self-control with self-abandonment. And at that time, I couldn't see that under this prison that I put myself in the name of not being too much, I was controlling myself and my emotions, but ultimately I was abandoning myself every step of the way. And also, if you think about that, like what you're saying to yourself and your inner child is like, your feelings don't matter. You don't matter. Nothing you're feeling is, it's wrong, or, you know, you're not right to feel this way. So all kinds of dismissive conversations, internal dialogue. And it's not even just what you're saying to yourself. It's, those are the examples of how we show up and betray ourselves and abandon the things that are important to us. And the truth of the matter is, it's like your feelings are true for you. So even if I don't understand why you're feeling the way that you are, or maybe if I wouldn't feel the way that you would in a given situation, that doesn't mean that your feelings are wrong or not valid. So the question I pose to you here is, are you self-abandoning or are you self-controlling and ultimately self-abandoning in that process? And then more importantly than that is why? Why are you doing that? Who are you trying to avoid, or what are you ultimately trying to avoid in that process? There's all kinds of ways that self-abandonment had shown up in those early years of this journey. And one of those ways equally was keeping really, really busy. Now, in fairness, my life has always been very full. I design it that way. The difference now and then was that then I was, again, avoiding, suppressing, pushing away, not wanting to engage. And many of the people in my life, from friends to family to then husband, you know, would just say things like, you work too much, you work too much. I'm an ambitious person. So when I say that I designed my life that way, it's because I got a lot of things to do in this life. And so I got to make sure that I am actively moving these things forward. But the difference between then and now was that back then it was avoidance. Today, I don't avoid. Today, I engage. I might not engage immediately. I might put a pin in things. I might put a pin in emotions or situations or experiences until I feel ready to unpack them and process them and digest them. But back then, I was fully keeping myself busy in an effort to not have to do it because I wasn't ready. And the reality is that if you find yourself in that same place right now, it's okay. One of two things will happen. You will either eventually feel ready and courageous enough to fully engage with yourself in that intimate way, or you won't. And you can continue on the cycle of suppressing and avoiding. But I think that the way things are evolving and this pace is just, it's rapid. I don't know that we have much time left to not actually do this inner work that requires us to show up in a different way in our lives. So with that in mind, the change, one of the biggest changes, like I said, was not hiding behind the wall anymore, not suppressing and not choosing to not engage or choosing to not engage within these deeper emotions that I was having. And then finally, when I was reflecting on all of this, you know, people have generally said, you know, you're calm, you're cool, you're reserved, and all of those things are very true. But what they didn't know is like what was going on the inside. And even now, you know, I'm generally speaking pretty even, but back then the biggest difference was that there'd just be so much going on inside. So even though I didn't outwardly show that, there was so much that was going on internally within me, mentally, emotionally, physically, like just on the cellular level. And even now, as I think about like, well, why would I do that? I think what I realize even today in this moment is part of it might have been this idea that I was saving other people's feelings or their experience, or maybe I didn't want to have them not like me, or, you know, what, any number of things that had to do with outside people and outside, just whatever they would think about me or whatever they would say about me, but all of it had to do with them. So in the process of trying to keep other people comfortable, I was sacrificing myself literally moment to moment, day to day, year on year. And at some point in time, that just becomes exhausting. No, you don't want to hide behind the various masks of inauthenticity. You don't want to pretend that you don't have feelings. And that inevitably was a byproduct, is that people started to think that I didn't have any other feelings other than joy and happiness, that my feelings didn't get hurt, that you could do whatever you wanted to me, and that it didn't have an impact on me. So ultimately, the only person who really, really lost, or that it really cost in that entire process, was myself. And for a lot of you, this might sound really commonsensical. And if you got the memo already, I'm so happy for you, genuinely. But it's taken me a lot of years and a lot of work and a lot of reflection to realize how much of my own personal power I was giving away when I would be suppressing all of these emotions in an effort to look what I thought then was emotionally mature or emotionally intelligent. So with that, we are going to take our first break. And when we come back, we will talk more about suppression, emotional suppression as maturity. We'll be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where today I'm talking about emotional maturity and what I learned the hard way. So what I'm sharing with you today is the awareness and the evolution from operating in a space that I thought at one point in time was emotional maturity to the new evolution of Charisse, which is more of an emotionally regulated and self-aware individual. And back then, and this might resonate with those of you who are fairly calm and even, but at the end of the day, the biggest, it's in this particular subject, it's really in the details. Because even though I was calm and cool and collected and all of those things, for so much of my adult life, I had suppressed what I was really feeling and not sharing what I was really feeling. And I think the other part of it is I didn't think anybody cared. Like, you know, when we say things like, how are you? And people are like, I'm fine or whatever, every now and again. So that was another shift, was now when people ask, like, how are you? Like, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to be, well, you know what? This hurts, that hurts. Or, you know, I'm really not feeling it today or whatever the case may be. But back then, it was just a conversation starter. It wasn't even asked from any place of authenticity or genuine desire to know. And so the other shift within that is I started asking other people with genuine desire to know. And it'd be funny because people would be always so caught off guard. So, you know, and this always would happen if I was calling a call center and, you know, they're doing their thing and we're making chit chat. And I would say, well, how are you? And they would say, oh, are you asking really? And I'm like, yeah, I'm asking really. How are you? How's your day? Are you busy? Like, are people being nice to you? And, you know, those kinds of things, it's funny when you actually start to genuinely, like, engage with people, not in a surface way, but from a genuine desire to get to know them, how much you can unlock, not only for yourself, but for the other person. And that, I guess, is another cost of suppressing emotion and bypassing it and not engaging with it. And again, coming back to, well, why would I do that, right? Some people might be like, well, why would you do that? Why would you not express your emotions? And I think that even now, when I express my emotions, I'm very mindful of how I share them. And I wouldn't call it bypassing or suppressing. But I think that because when I do express those emotions and they're very strong, they can be really, people can put up walls real quick. And so instead of wanting to isolate people under the weight of what I'm sharing with them, I want them to receive what I'm saying. And back then, I didn't know how to do that. That's the difference. It's not that I didn't know what to say. It's that I didn't know how to say it. And this took real work and real practice. Because again, I'm not somebody who yells. I'm not somebody who disrespects people. I'm not someone who will shame you and humiliate you. That's not who I am. But I found that even when I was delivering something, so somebody would ask me my opinion about something. And back then, 20s, I would just give it to you very directly, not rude, but very direct. And I picked up this nickname, and this nickname was Shirudy. And I was like, oh, well, and really what they were saying is I'm rude. They said she is rude. So I was just like, well, and this kind of shocked me. I was like, I don't consider myself to be rude. And so I would start asking all my other friends, I'm like, you know, am I rude? Like, am I? And this is how people were receiving me. And this is the point that I'm getting at, is that even though the intention of my message was to give you, you asked for a truth, so I'm going to give you the truth, and I'm just going to deliver it in very plain language, the people that were on the receiving end of this were not hearing me. Instead, they were hearing whatever story they wanted to hear and taking what I was saying as being rude. And so where this really shifted, and I had to get really good at it, was number one, having a lot of employees, and number two, more importantly, having children, because I wanted my kids to hear what I was saying. I didn't want them to become defensive and have their feelings hurt and so on and so forth. So the switch that I made there was, first of all, I ask a lot of questions and guide people to the answers through the questions that I'm asking. But before I learned how to do that, it was really just trying to phrase what I was trying to say with the content of the message still intact, but maybe not as direct, because we all know that words can be quite cutting. So it's maybe not even necessarily that only that I was worried about, you know, people judging and all this other kind of stuff, but maybe there's a part of it that I was worried about people's feelings and whether or not my meaning would be lost in what it was I was trying to say. And again, those seemed to me only to be relevant in the case of those emotions and those conversations that are heavier in nature. And so ultimately, back then, what I was doing is I often found myself having a lot of self-talk around why my feelings were not valid. Oh, you're over. And I'm sure people, you guys have done this before. Where it's like, oh, I'm overreacting, or I must have misunderstood, or any of these other ways that we say that, you know, our feelings don't matter. And that would have been an early childhood thing, because in our household, we didn't talk about feelings. What are those? It didn't happen. And I found myself recently actually trying to have one of these conversations with my dad. And it was funny because he was just like, he was this wall. I was like, so dad, you know, I'm like, how is, you know, this thing, da da da, blah, 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 back then. And I was trying to like peel back these layers and understand him. And he's like, everything was great. Everything was fine. Nothing happened. Everything was amazing. And I saw that and I chuckled internally. I didn't say anything. And But what it did for me is it connected the dots, right? This was obviously a learned behavior. We didn't talk about bad feelings. We didn't lean into bad feelings. We just, what are those? They didn't happen. So even now, when I find myself having conversations with my family, and when I'm talking about my family, I'm talking about the older members of my family. You know who they are. They don't, it's something that they don't do. And it's funny to me even how I managed to figure out how to start doing it because I didn't learn it from them. So, but the beauty in that, and this is why it's so important to start like, you know, showing up in these authentic ways, is like, I can't even hide these parts of myself. I can't even pretend that this is like, these aren't the conversations that I want to have and that I'm not interested in. You know, I can't even fake these things anymore. So now when I'm having these conversations with the older members of my family, I'm asking them things that make them uncomfortable. And I'm not talking about things that I would deem to be supremely private. I'm talking about just things about the way that they feel, or asking them things, you know, inviting them to look at things in a different way. And I always know when I hit, like, just kind of get to that spot that they don't like, because they shut down and they get defensive. And I'm like, oh yeah, we hit something juicy here. So we'll come back another day. So anyways, the point that I'm trying to make with all of that is that although this was a learned behavior very, very early, throughout the process, and particularly of having kids and wanting to make sure that we could, so that they could be able to access their feelings and articulate them and process them, so that they would not emotionally suppress and, you know, have all this stuff that was going on inside of them. So I would say that they were probably the main motivators for trying to figure out A, how to communicate my feelings, and B, how to help them learn how to do the same thing. And so when I did feel something deeply back then, like I said, I just suppressed, I avoided, I bypassed, or here is another one. If it was something really, really deep, let's quickly get through it and fix it. And as fast as we possibly can, because I didn't like the discomfort of being in this place where I'm at loggerheads with somebody, because it's usually an argument or something like that, right? A disagreement about something, a point of view, words that are said, actions, whatever. But the point is like the place of sitting in that discomfort of two people or two parties being on the either side of an argument and not agreeing was uncomfortable. And I did not have the tools at that point in time. I didn't know how to be able to navigate that without abandoning myself, without sacrificing myself in the process. And because it was so grossly uncomfortable, I found that I was just like, in some cases, it's just like, okay, you know what? Yeah, you're right. I'm wrong. Let's put a pin in it. Okay, can we go back to being happy now? So it reminds me a lot of Inside Out. And my kids said this to me one time, because I was actually evolving in a way that I, at some point, was also trying to get them to do the same thing. Because they'd said to me, they're like, somebody was sharing something that was low vibe. And I was looking for the positive. And one of my kids looked at me and they said, you know what, Mom, you are just like Joy. And the child of mine went on to say, and Joy's annoying. She never lets you feel sad. She never lets you feel angry. She never lets you feel annoyed. She never lets you feel any of these things. Like, who can be happy all the time? And I'll admit, my feelings were hurt. But the truth is, they were right. So good on them for like calling me out on emotionally bypassing. And then further to that, to add insult to injury, inviting them to try and do the same thing. And this is what I mean about these kids of mine, right? Like, be careful what you wish for. So I'm helping them to figure out how to find your voice and talk and share your feelings and all these things. And here they go. They turn it right around on you and tell you to butt out and stop being so joyous all the time. So, but it was good because it was a real good reminder that we have this beautiful array of emotions for a reason. It's meant to help us actually peel back the layers and heal the parts of ourselves that need to be healed so we can release them and move on. And there's no value in emotionally bypassing situations. So when I would feel like my feelings were too much, I would back then, like I said, bury and pretend they didn't exist and just quietly turned into somebody that I didn't even know. Outwardly, I was maybe still the same, but maybe there was a bit of an edge or a bitterness because at the same time, I couldn't really fully express how I was feeling at any given moment, or I didn't feel like I could express what I was needing to at any given moment. And the reality is that the only people, everybody loses in that, right? It's not just one person who loses in that. Everybody loses in that. I lose because of what I'm doing to myself emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually. And everybody else around me loses because I'm not telling them how I really feel. I'm not sharing. I'm not even showing up in an authentic way. So, you know, it was such a great experience going through this. The learning of the difference, or even just sitting and reflecting on the difference between emotional maturity and then that pivot and that transition to what real emotional regulation begins to look like. I have not mastered it by any stretch of the imagination. But when we come back, I will talk more about this transition and the evolution. But if you are enjoying this show, please give me a 5-star review on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. And we'll be right back after this commercial break.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where today I'm talking about emotional maturity, not immaturity, emotional maturity, and what I learned the hard way. In the first couple of segments, I've shared what I highlighted as the difference between, for me anyways, emotional maturity, my then understanding, and what it is evolving to at this point in time. And ultimately, in this journey, the most pivotal point that I can think of that really kind of blew the lid off of all of this was, like most people, is a life event. And in this case, my life event was divorce. And in a lot of ways, you know, especially when you're in an intimate relationship, I'm somebody who likes to keep the peace. It's the nature of who I am. And so a lot of things would just kind of go, I would let them go because I'm like it's not a hill that I want to die on. That would be something I would say often. This is not a hill that I want to die on. So I wouldn't. And therefore not engage, and therefore give away power, abandon myself, all of these things. But you know, when you're going through a separation and a divorce, well, now I don't have to worry about the other person's feelings in the same way. And this took some practice. And not that our divorce was by any stretch of the imagination horrible, because it wasn't. But what I did do very differently, and the first thing that I remember doing very, very differently, because I processed my feelings very different to the way my ex-husband did. So, for example, I'm somebody who likes to take time to think about how I feel. Learning how to feel into it came later. I liked then to think about how I feel and really process it and take time. My then husband was the exact opposite. And so many times it would feel like we were like two lawyers going at it in a courtroom. And it's not like I can't think quick on my feet. I can, but I'm also somebody, remember what I said, I'm very mindful of my words, and you cannot unring a bell. Once you say something, you cannot take it back. I could go and apologize, but you've already said the thing that's wounded the person. So I try not to use my words like that, right? I'm very conscious of how I try to use them. So the first thing after getting a divorce that I did, or once we separated, is that I took my time. And, you know, he would send me messages and I would say things like, I'll respond when I'm ready. And now, because I don't have to live in your physical, and I wouldn't say all of this, but the point I was saying is I don't have to answer when you want me to. I've acknowledged your message. So that was the beginning of boundaries. I don't have to answer your question right now. I will come back to you when I'm good and ready. And not like that, but you get the point of the message, right? Which was basically, this is a boundary. And I'm saying to you that I'm going to think about what it is that you're saying to me, and I'm going to come back to it later. And that was the first thing that I started to do. And the freedom alone in that, to be able to just say to somebody something as simple as, I don't have an answer for you right now, and I don't really want to think about it right now, and I will come back to this later. And if you don't hear from me in 24 or 48 hours, then you can give me a call or message me. But for now, we're not talking about it. That was the first thing. The second thing that I started to do was I was starting to be a little more vocal with people. Not a lot. It was practice. It took a little while. But I was starting to be more honest with people about the way that I was feeling about things. And even within that, like, I can remember having a conversation with one friend, and she didn't love the way that I was showing up, right? Like, divorce is hard on all people around you, right? It's not just the two people that are dissolving the relationship. It's the two people that are dissolving the relationship. It's the kids. It's all the friends you share. It's all the family members. And I mean, I felt like I was getting it from everyone, every which way possible. But anyways, this one friend that I had, we're having a conversation, and our relationship was evolving. And I don't know that it was because of the divorce, but it was evolving nonetheless. And I remember saying to her very clearly, and I remember it like it was yesterday, because I remember how I felt when I said it. But I'd said to her, I said, you know, I love you to the moon and back. And I said, our relationship is evolving. And I said, and you want to hold on to something that I don't want it like that anymore. I said, it's not serving me and where I need to go. It doesn't mean that I don't want you. It doesn't mean that I don't love you. It doesn't mean that we can't still be really good friends and do all the things. But the way that this relationship is, I'm outgrowing it. And I needed to speak my truth in that moment. And I did. And it wounded her. And I know it wounded her. But the difference between this new Charisse that was emerging and that old Charisse is, I might not have ever said that, but I couldn't not say it anymore. And I was so rooted and I had so much conviction with it that I couldn't pretend anymore that this, the way that the relationship was structured, was serving me any longer. And the unfortunate thing is, like, we went through a period of not being friends, but I had to ask myself, I know I can't meet her with what she needs. I know I can't. So So the only thing that I can do is communicate that. And there's something that Brené Brown has said in probably many of her books, but clear is kind. And so the kindest thing that I could do for her was to be very honest. And even though it hurt her, and even though it wounded her, the difference was is that I was willing to accept responsibility for the repercussions of speaking my truth. And that was such a huge and pivotal moment for me in my growth, in my evolution, and ultimately the journey to healing. And that was just the beginning, because then, like many things in life, once you open the floodgates, everything comes in. And so now I was allowing myself to feel everything. The anger, fear, rage, doubt, anxiety. I didn't even know that I had all of these feelings. And now here all of a sudden I'm engaging with them fully and feeling very overwhelmed. So the truth of the matter is a lot of the fears and concerns that I had around allowing all these feelings to come in, yeah, they were true. I had to figure out really quickly how to not collapse under the weight of them so that I could function in life. And it took some work, right? So then this is where the idea of like putting a pin in things for me came from, because I met someone who made it really okay to not have to engage in conversations. Now, some people might say that's avoidance. In fact, for me, it was a welcome reprieve, because it was like saying to me, hey, whatever those feelings are that you're having right now, in an effort to maybe not lose control, it's okay to like put a pin in this and come back to it later. We don't have to really deal with this and wrap our arms around this right now if we can't have a conversation in a way that's meaningful and productive and where we can still respect each other and be kind and things like that. So, you know, that was probably a real gift when this person almost gave me permission to like, yes, engage with the feelings, but still put them in a place where, almost compartmentalizing them, I guess, right? Just saying, okay, this thing I'm just going to put over here for now and I will come back to it later. So divorce was like a really, it was, I'm going to be careful how I say this, because it was painful and as challenging as it can be. For me personally, it was almost unlocking, not just unlocking freedom from a relationship, but because it really wasn't quite like that, but it was more around unlocking a piece of me that I had locked away for so long and didn't even know how to deal with or engage with. So once that was over with, well, not over with, but once I begin engaging with these feelings, now I'm learning how I can engage with them in a way that it's therapeutic and that it's healing versus like collapsing under the weight of them. And this is where I talk about those types of things where it's like learning how to be the spectator of your life, of the things that come up. And these practices, I'll be really honest with you, I share them over and over and over again, because the truth is that, you know, I've been intentionally on this journey for like 10 years with intention, focus, and effort. But I didn't learn these things until literally 2 years ago. I really honestly didn't. Sure, I was having coaches and doing therapy and, you know, journaling. And yes, all of those things did help with like emotional regulation and those kinds of things. But the truth of the matter is like how to actually have a feeling and learn how to process it in a way that I wasn't collapsing, I wasn't avoiding, I wasn't suppressing, I was still speaking my truth and all of these things. That only honestly did not even happen until a couple of years ago. And once you begin to do that, the first thing in that, of course, always is learning how to become the spectator in your own movie of life. And for me, that began in like the somatic practices. That began in having an awareness of like what was going on before, you know, all the other things. And for me, emotion shows up rarely in a heated way. It's like almost always in my heart center and in my stomach. Almost always. And it's always like, it's either heaviness in my chest, or it's like literally being sick to your stomach, or anxiety in your belly. That's how it shows up for me. There's probably a bunch of other ones, but those are the ones that really get my attention. And so once I started paying attention to that and what would be happening before or in a situation. That would always be my cue to like pay attention and start really listening and paying attention to it like I'm watching a movie and seeing like what's going on. Why am I feeling this way, right? It's almost like I'm taking notes of the whole experience while it's happening to try and figure it so I can later then pull it out and like really dig into it. But once I began to do that, then I could later, this is when all the other practices really began to come together. Because I keep journals, I've been keeping journals for a really, really long time. And there was one observation that I'd made from my journal keeping. Every time I went to my journal, it was literally like the same conversation over and over and over and over again. I was tired of reading my journal because it just felt like a dumping ground for stuff that was never getting processed. It was just the same conversation over and over again. And the difference was that once I was able to be the spectator and watch what was going on in this scenario and then park it and then come back to it later. And now I can use the tool of journaling. Then I could say, okay, it's almost like I would treat it like a story, right? I would tell the story as I saw it. Then I would talk about what I felt. Then I would talk about, you know, what were the stories that were going on in my mind. Then I would ask myself things like, is there truth in this? You know, things like that. And the reality is like, this is what really began to help me unpack these things and really start to see what is truly going on here. So when we come back, we are going to continue this conversation around emotional maturity and what I learned the hard way. We'll be right back after the break.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where today what I'm covering is what I learned about emotional maturity the hard way. And really what I offer to you today are my lessons, my experiences. And as I've said before, if you've already got this figured out, call me and help me, because at the end of the day, it's taken me a really long time to begin to understand how to navigate the vast pool of emotions and how to really deal with them in a way where I'm not suppressing and avoiding and abandoning myself and all the things that ultimately create harm within me and ultimately with the people around me. So the last piece that I want to cover here in the segment, if you realize throughout this episode, all the things that I talked about and why I was self-abandoning and suppressing and avoiding and so on and so forth, it had to do with everything to do with other people. And remember I said in the very beginning or early in the episode today that, you know, it was obviously a learned behavior. My family, we didn't really engage in the talk of feelings very much. But even more important than that, the observation that I'd made is that I was self-abandoning really in an effort and attempt to like hold on to love. Because really at the end of the day, I think that's what we're all looking for, is to be loved and accepted and have a sense of security within our own tribes. And if you fall without outside of that or create too many waves, subconsciously, I think the question or the fear that we all have is that we're going to be abandoned within that. We're not going to be accepted for who we are. And the reality is that I'm now at the place where I don't have the bandwidth. Like, I can't even suppress these things anymore because it's too late. It's like I've seen too much and I've learned too much, and I can't now go back and pretend to be or do something else. And so it is a journey. And so when I think about who was I, not necessarily who, but like, who was I trying to have? Well, yeah, definitely who. It was everybody. It was everybody that I came into relationship with, everybody who was important to me and whose connection I valued, from my friends to my parents, my sister never. I've always been very honest with my sister. My romantic relationships, maybe even colleagues and people that I worked with. Just, you know, to be loved and accepted as I was. And the reality is that maybe if I had been willing to show up in a way that was authentic and being still mindful of what it was that I needed, but speaking my truth, then perhaps that would have been an invitation to other people to show up themselves and be honest, right? Because I think the reality is that a lot of people might be walking around these days not really fully engaging and being honest, or not even knowing how to regulate within that so that they can speak their truth in a way that doesn't push people away. And so what I realized is that if I have to avoid, suppress, and not be me, then is that even really love at all? I certainly wouldn't want anyone to not be themselves or feel like they couldn't be safe enough with me, that they had to show up in all these different ways or not speak their truth. And I think about, you know, and I don't just mean this like in the sense of like romantic relationships or those intimate relationships. I think about this even in the workplace. And I don't mean it in the romantic way. I just mean like when I'm with my staff and we're talking about, you know, I have an open door policy. And when they don't feel like they can be honest with me, or they need to suppress themselves or avoid or any of these things, it bothers me. It really bothers me. And I actually personalize it. Maybe I shouldn't. But this is one of the reasons why I try to show up as authentically as possible, so that I can also invite other people to do the exact same thing. And I think that part of that is accepting that we're all humans. And nobody's perfect, myself included, as much as I'd like to. And we're not going to get it right. And so my capacity for grace and acceptance and understanding that everybody's at very, very different places, myself included, is I think also what's allowed me to have more grace even with myself. Because, you know, often we have far more forgiveness for others than we do for ourselves. And we're often our worst critics in almost everything. I know that I certainly am. And I think I bring that up because, you know, I was so worried about disappointing all of these people around me with my, you know, Niagara Falls of emotions, that I wasn't willing to be honest with them and, you know, allow them the space to love me anyways. And all these years later, I was having a conversation with my dad recently, and my dad's funny because he's very direct, is that what I would say? He's very, very direct. But I was coming and I was giving him like a lighter perspective to look at in whatever we were talking about. And he looked at me and he was like, "Can't you just be stinky for once in your life?" And I looked at him and I was like, "No, why would I do that? I'm like, there's already so much of that in the world. I'm pretty sure we don't need to continue, you know, the stinkiness that you're talking about." So here I am for the first time ever in my life. My dad is literally facing me with this, literally asking me, like, "Why can't you just be different?" And I'm very clearly saying, finally, no, I don't want to be. I don't think the way that you're doing it is right. So if it works for you, awesome. But for me, it doesn't. So in closing, I'm going to leave you with a couple of questions for you to ponder throughout the rest of the day, the week, or whenever it is you're listening to this. But for you, what is the least glamorous truth for you about emotional maturity? And right now in your life, what are you being asked to surrender to? So what is it that you are doing over and over and over again? What's the pattern that you keep getting pulled into? And can you surrender that? And does it give this thing that you keep getting pulled into, is it giving you what you're looking for? Do you have a sense of peace? Do you have a sense of security? Are you feeling good? You know, and all of these things, and please, when you're asking yourself these questions, I would encourage you to see where it lands in your body, see how you feel. And is there a question right now that if you ask it, so what's a question that you can ask yourself right now about your emotions, and is it making you activated? So in other words, where are you feeling it? So with that, thank you so much for joining me this week. And until next time, take care.
Thank you for listening to the Sacred Leadership Show. Charisse returns Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific on the InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, continue taking small steps today to be a leader in your life for the collective.